All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Jake Ugraticus Farron with you guys. God, I love doing this show. Okay, so we got a ton of programming for you guys today. The madness of the mail-in ballots and Donald Trump encouraging people to break the law continues. Fascism on the rise. We got 2 months to beat it back. Okay, now, both on a political and lighter note, later today on BMU, as the cool kids call it, between me and Uger, Marianne Williamson joins me. Fun for everybody. That's 8 o'clock Eastern, must see TV, twitch.tv/TYT, twitch.tv/TYT. So make sure you check that out. Next Tuesday, Bernie's birthday bash. Okay, we're gonna do a special on it. You're gonna find out things that you didn't know about Bernie, and you're gonna go, no, stop it. In fact, I revealed that one of those facts to someone yesterday, and they were like, you're lying, you are a liar. And I was like, no, I'm serious. So find out those fun facts and celebrate a progressive movement next Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern right here. And then just one random note before we get started on everything else. So Jim Carrey came out with a op-ed today in The Atlantic. It's Truth, Justice, and a World Without Trump. I bring it up because I want you to read it because it's awesome. And because it really reflects the way I think about it, because he immigrated like I did to this country. He came from Canada, I came from Turkey, and I know that people say, oh, well, no, that's not the same. No, it is the same. Just because Canada and Jim Carrey are white doesn't mean it's different. okay. And like me, he watched movies, and like me, he believed in the idea of America. And that's why he was super happy to come here. And like me, he's actually had a great experience here. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't live up to our ideals. It means more so that we should live up to our ideals. That's why he wrote about it, and that's why it resonated with me. So I loved it and want to make sure that you guys saw it too. So check it out. All right. Let's do it. Anna, what's first?
All right. Well, I just want to encourage you all to share and like the stream. Don't share and like that guy because he's not fun. But if you're watching live, sharing and liking the stream really does help the show out. You guys have been so supportive and so incredible. Yesterday, we got 2,800 likes and shares. And the reward was me singing Return of the Mac with Brett doing the backup vocals. And so for our members in the comment section today, if we pass 2,500 likes and shares, we will sing another song that will be proposed by our members in the member comments, okay? Try to pick something fun from the 90s that is well known because I need to know the song in order to be able to sing it. But thank you for helping out and thank you for sharing the stream.
Maybe one day I'll sing a Turkish song for you guys. All right.
Oh, that would be such a treat. all right, let's.
Real quick, liking and sharing is also important because it helps spread the progressive message and it just takes 1 second. So we love you for it, let's do it, let's make Anna sing, all right.
All right. Well, we start off with a serious story involving international news. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has decided to unexpectedly and without any explanation freeze the assets of the top prosecutor for the International Criminal Court. Her name is Fatou Bensouda, someone who I actually met earlier this year and interviewed earlier this year at the Munich Security Conference. The whole point of the International Criminal Court or the ICC is to investigate potential war crimes. And if a country does not give the ICC any jurisdiction over its country, then the ICC really has no power over that country, which is why it's strange that the Trump administration has decided to take this action. Now, let's hear what Mike Pompeo said yesterday in announcing this, and then we'll fill in some blanks.
In June, the Trump administration authorized the imposition of economic sanctions against foreign persons directly engaged in ICC efforts to investigate U.S. or allied personnel and those who materially assisted in that effort. Today, we take the next step because the ICC continues to target Americans, sadly. Pursuant to Executive Order 13928, the United States will designate ICC prosecutor Fatou Bensouda and the ICC's head of jurisdiction, complementarian cooperation division, Fakiso Mochichuko, for having material assisted prosecutor Bensouda. Individuals and entities that continue to materially support those individuals risks exposure to sanctions as well. Additionally, State Department has restricted the issuance of visas for certain individuals involved in the ICC's efforts to investigate U.S. personnel.
So some important things to bring up about the ICC before I give you more details. As I mentioned, the ICC only has power in regard to countries that have given the court jurisdiction. The ICC is also considered a last resort when national courts fail in regard to prosecuting war crimes. And more than 100 nation states have signed on to this because they saw the importance of world peace. But of course, the United States and Turkey were very much against this. Now, no state is forced to join the ICC. It's 100% voluntary. And as I mentioned earlier, the International Criminal Court does investigate incredibly important, war crimes, genocide, for instance. And recently, they were looking into certain wars that the United States was involved in, but they weren't just simply investigating the United States. They were looking into all the different players involved in these conflicts abroad. So the US Treasury issued a statement saying that Bensouda and Mochu Choko had been deemed specially designated nationals, grouping them alongside terrorists and narcotics traffickers, blocking their assets and prohibited US citizens from having any dealings with them. Now, the US Treasury also issued a statement. The US also opposes ICC scrutiny of potential Israeli crimes against Palestinians. So that was one of the issues that Trump's administration had with the ICC as part of an investigation that also looks at abuses carried out by Palestinian security forces. So the ICC didn't just simply investigate the Israeli government, they were looking into the Palestinian side as well. The US was roundly condemned for its anti-ICC campaign, which was not supported by any other Western democracy or US ally apart from Israel. Now, aside from the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the ICC was also looking into the war in Afghanistan, not just the United States actions, but also the actions of all players involved. So I want to go to video in a little bit showing who Fatou Bensouda is, because she, I believe, is an incredible woman. And from my interview with her, I was really impressed. But Cenk, I wanted you to jump in before we do that.
Yeah, so you know who sanctions people who prosecute war crimes and human rights abuses? People who commit war crimes and human rights abuses. This is like the Nazis saying we're cutting off the bank account of Justice Jackson, who was the lead prosecutor for the US and the Allied forces in Nuremberg. It's one thing to say we're not going to participate in the ICC because we commit war crimes on a regular basis, and almost all of our allies do. By the way, at which point you should begin to wonder if we're the good guys. Our allies are Saudi Arabia, which commits monstrous war crimes, sometimes even against us. Israel, nonstop war crimes in Gaza, West Bank, etc. Turkey, nonstop war crimes in northern Syria against Kurdish people, etc. And the US as well. So this is what the Sean Hannitys of the world don't want you to think about, because you might realize, wait a minute, maybe we're not the good guys when we invade foreign countries and commit dozens of war crimes. Maybe we're the bad guys. So now look, I love America and I want America to live up to its ideals, but this is not how you do it. You don't do it by committing war crimes, and you don't do it by attacking the people whose job it is to hold up human rights. Now, why do I love America? Because we not only did the Marshall Plan at the end of World War II, but we also did the United Nations. We set that up. And the whole point was to bring human rights to the rest of the world. And that's why America was a shiny city on a hill. Now, did we live up to it? No, on 1,000 occasions we did not live up to it. But did we sometimes? Yes, World War II, Nuremberg trials, Marshall Plan, aid to foreign countries. But now, not only are we not participating with the ICC, not only are we blocking them, but now we're saying we're going to freeze the assets of their prosecutors, the main good guys. And yeah, I mean, it's an open declaration that we're the bad guys. I've never seen a clearer instance of it.
And so the Trump administration has decided to group the top prosecutor for this court along with the worst people on the planet. I mean, terrorists, dangerous individuals. And I just want you to get a sense of who she is. This is from a panel discussion I moderated earlier this year. Fatou Bensouda, the top prosecutor for the ICC, who by the way was elected into that 9-year term, was talking about the importance of equality and peace. Let's take a listen to what she had to say.
With respect to foreign policy, I believe that what really we continue to think about is how do we get these policies that would encourage women participation, equality of women, being also taken into account with respect to all the policies that government has in place for sustainable development. And in foreign policy, it is that to show to the world that this is how this government is going to treat the issues of women. I believe an example that we have is what happened in Sweden with respect to foreign policy and the strides that the then Minister for Foreign Affairs, Margaret Wallström, I sent regards and respect, what they have done together with the team to show that this is a very important aspect of the foreign policy of Sweden. And therefore, other governments should at least take cue and take example from that. Because once a government does show that their foreign policy is really geared towards making sure there is equality for women, that women have equal opportunities, that women have access to justice, that they have equal opportunities at work, and demonstrate this in tangible terms, this, I believe, is the right message to send.
So she has been equated by the Trump administration to terrorists international criminals.
Yeah, look, if you're fighting for equal rights for women and equal pay, the Trump administration might consider you a terrorist. Let's talk about a couple of implications here. If they allow prosecutors that are looking to put away war criminals to be punished, legally punished in America, what's to stop them from legally punishing prosecutors who might pursue the Trump family or the Trump administration? So if no one objects to this, and you know, people don't have time to object to the thousand things that Trump does wrong on a daily basis, but the Democratic Party should have mechanisms to combat things like this, and you know they won't, right? And so then if he wins a second term, he'll say, well, you didn't say anything when I froze the assets and of a international prosecutor that the whole world thinks is amazing and is on the side of the angels. And when I crushed her, you didn't say anything. So now I'm going to do it to prosecutors in New York and at different states. And then I'm going to do it to federal prosecutors and anyone who might touch my criminal family. So this is exactly how fascists operate. And there's no end to this. I mean, again, this is why I say, look, we have the poll, tuit.com/poll/fascism. And right now, I think it's like 97% of you say, yeah, this is fascism. It's not going towards it. It's there. It's there. I know I'm almost repeating it, but it's amazing and brazen and unprecedented to try to put sanctions on prosecutors who are going after war criminals. Unbelievable. It's an open admission that our administration are themselves criminals and fascists.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they froze her assets. That's insane. And I mean, look, aside from this story, right? When you think about that type of power that the Trump administration can use, it's at their disposal. It's terrifying, right? And you're right, Cenk. I mean, our audience is right in the way that they responded to that poll. And this is something that we should definitely be concerned about at the very least, to know that the Trump administration is willing to use these types of methods to punish anyone who might try to hold them accountable. All right, we got to move on.
Sorry.
We got to move on, Cenk.
Okay, hold on, one more quick thing. Look, just think about it for a second. If they say she's a terrorist and anyone who consorts with her is a terrorist, even though she actually puts away terrorists, Well, Anna did a speech with her. You just saw it. A lot of our allies do events with her. Allies meaning like French and English allies, etc. So what's to stop the Trump administration, if they win a second term, to going, oh, you did an event with one of the preeminent human rights experts in the world? That's it. You're under arrest. You're consorting with a terrorist. So if you don't think that's fascism, there's something wrong with you. Or maybe you're looking forward to it.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll switch gears and talk about how Trump is exercising his fascism here in the United States and encouraging his voters to commit felonies. We'll be back.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Back on the Young Turks, lots of comments for you guys. Paul Jazzle says it's my birthday. All right, thank you for being a member. Chris K says, got my too strong coffee through priority mail today. Not just waiting on the coffee mug. Oh, sorry, like this one? No, seriously, toostrongcoffee.com/TYT. Toostrongcoffee.com/TYT. The mugs are on the way. We did run out for a little while, but they're coming now. Cerberus Alpha, My Black Life Matters writes in, that video with Anna is exactly what The View should be. No chance of that. New Young Turks members on YouTube as we're live here: Henry Marquez, Damon Ferguson, Eric Dolan, JE23508, Cinder Golivsky, Joseph Young, Mundy Garcia, Sirna M, and Joel Klasky. We can read your names while we're live on the air when you join up. We love it. Also, the upgrades as well. The join button's right below the video. So easy to do, along with sharing and liking. That costs nothing. YouTube Super Chat says, Anna just got my TYT sweatshirt with a pocket in a pocket. When will the thugs at Shop TYT give Johnny Pie and TDR a shirt? Okay. There's more on your apparent rivalry with Johnny. Hold on. Sirna M says, I've been a TYT member for 2 years and I just renewed. I love it. Thank you. No more pot for you, writes in. This is all on YouTube Super Chat now, guys, and we appreciate you using that. Take my money. Love you guys. I can't handle our current political state without you, Krista. Krista, thank you so much. You're the best. George Yang says, let me keep going. The last one is Sean Umpleby. I joked on TDR today of how John won me over in regards to his and Anna's friendly rivalry, but I appreciate everything that TYT does. You give me hope through all of this. You are my light in the darkness. I love you all. Together we press on. Exactly right. Thank you. And if you guys want to help make this show sustainable through the year and be that light in the darkness, TYT.com/go. We'll try to check in on that later. We've got 1,500 likes, by the way. We're going to try to get to 2,500 to make Anna sing. Like and share it. Just 1 second right under the video. Thank you, Anna. Go.
All right. After promoting vigilante violence in response to Black Lives Matter protesters, Donald Trump has now encouraged his supporters to commit additional felonies. This time, it's voter fraud. Listen.
600,000 people could vote by absentee in this state. Are you confident in that system?
Well, they'll go out and they'll vote, and they're going to have to go and check their vote by going to the poll and voting that way, because if it tabulates, then they won't be able to do that. So let them send it in and let them go vote. And if their system's as good as they say it is, then obviously they won't be able to vote. If it isn't tabulated, they'll be able to vote. So that's the way it is. And that's what they should do. I don't like the idea of these unsolicited votes. I never did. It leads to a lot of problems. They've got 11 problems already on very small contests, so I'm not happy about it. At the same time, we're in court on a lot of it. We're going to see if it could be stopped. But send in your ballots. Send them in strong, whether it's solicited or unsolicited. The absentees are fine. We have to work to get them. You know, it means something. And you send them in, but you go to vote. And if they haven't counted it, you can vote.
What Donald Trump is suggesting there would be a felony in most states. Now, he made the comments in North Carolina. And I want to refresh everyone's memory of what Trump had to say about this type of voter fraud just a few months ago. Let's take a look.
The level of dishonesty with Democrat voting is unbelievable. If you told a Republican to vote twice, they'd get sick at even the thought of it.
Well, Donald Trump is promoting that idea now, and again, it would be a felony. And you know, this idea of voting by mail and then showing up to the polls would lead to chaos. It would lead to a dangerous situation at a time when people are supposed to be socially distancing amid the pandemic. And to try to vote twice, again, I want to repeat for like the billionth time now, would be a felony. What he is suggesting is wrong, and it's meant to sow chaos in this election process. So we have a video of William Barr pretending like he's stupid, which we'll get to in just a second. But Cenk, why don't you jump in?
Yeah. So look, guys, Trump is likely to have a lead on election day because an enormous percentage of his voters are going to vote in person. So this is based on the polling, whereas a huge percentage of Biden voters are going to vote by mail. There's a lot of reasons for that. Actually, Republicans used to use mail-in voting more in the past. Now it's switched to Democrats using it more, and that was pre-coronavirus. Now with coronavirus, remember, a lot of Republicans just don't even believe in it. So they're like, why would I do a mail-in? I'm just gonna walk in. And remember, they have tons of polling stations in Republican areas, not as many. They're more crowded. You have to wait longer in Democratic areas. So there's a lot of reasons why Democrats are gonna do mail-in voting more. So there's some good chance that on election day, Donald Trump will have the lead, seemingly have the lead for a while, but that's because of the majority of the votes have not yet been counted. Well, his intent appears to be, okay, that's it. The minute I take a one vote lead, this election's over. We're gonna burn all the mail-in ballots. They're all fraudulent anyway. And do you think Republican voters wouldn't believe that? They'd believe that in a second. They'd be like, oh, of course. Just like we did in 2000, we stopped the vote. Stop the counting. We have a lead. Stop the counting. They're all fraudulent anyway. We burned them. The United States Supreme Court participated in that in the year 2000. Now this is on a much, much bigger scale. So that's the battle plan here. To give you just to give one example, Martha McSally in Arizona in the last election cycle was leading on election day in that Senate race. Kyrsten Sinema got 70,000 more votes than her through the mail-in process and won the election. If that were to happen again at the national level between Trump and Biden, there's no way Trump would accept those results. No, he'd say, I won on election day. Mail-in ballots are by definition illegal, even though I myself did a mail-in ballot. And I don't care. So we're going to stop the election. So it is a potential disaster waiting to happen. And I want to be clear, when he says you should vote twice, it's voting twice is illegal. Attempting to vote twice. So even if you just go in and say, well, oh yeah, I'm going to test the system, see if I can vote twice, you'll be arrested. That's illegal. But third of all, soliciting people to vote twice is also illegal. So yet add yet another crime to Donald Trump's list. What he just said there was definitely a crime. And because it's Trump, we'll go unpunished.
Well, William Barr is supposed to be the top prosecutor in the country. And in a recent interview with Wolf Blitzer, he was asked about Trump's comments and he pretended as though he doesn't know what the law is.
It sounds like he's encouraging people to break the law and try to vote twice.
Well, I don't know exactly what he was saying, but it seems to me what he's saying is he's trying to make the point that the ability to monitor this system is not good. And if it was so good, if you tried to vote a second time, you would be caught if you voted in person.
That would be illegal if they did that. If somebody mailed in a ballot and then actually showed up to vote in person, that would be illegal.
I don't know what the law in the particular state says.
You can't vote twice.
Well, I don't know what the law in the particular state says and when that vote becomes final.
Is there any state that says you can vote twice?
Well, there's some, you know, maybe that you can change your vote up to a particular time. I don't know what the law is, so I'm not going to offer.
He was saying test
the
system.
Well, you know, well, if you know what he's saying, why are you asking me what he's saying?
He doesn't believe in the mail-in voting. You're the Attorney General of the United States.
Why don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, he's asking you because you're literally the top law enforcement official in the country. That is your job. Your job is to know what the law is. But of course, he doesn't care. He's pretending like he doesn't know that attempting to vote twice would be a felony. And if you want to track your mail-in ballot, you can literally do that. Many states, including North Carolina, have a way for you to track your ballot, your mail-in ballot, and ensure that it was counted, that county officials have it. So what Trump is doing here, I think, is just so incredibly transparent. And will there be consequences for encouraging people to break the law? Of course not. Of course. I mean, this is just another another act that he will probably get away with. And I'm honestly terrified about what will likely happen in this general election. Now, he tried to double down on his statements on Twitter. Two of those tweets in the thread were later flagged by Twitter because of disinformation. But let me read you the three-tweet thread where Trump says, based on the massive number of unsolicited and solicited ballots that will be sent to potential voters for the upcoming 2020 election, and in order for you to make sure your vote counts and is counted, sign and mail in your ballot as early as possible on election day or early voting. Go to your polling place to see whether or not your mail-in vote has been tabulated, counted. I think people know that. If it has, and this is one of the tweets, by the way, that was flagged. If it has, you will not be able to vote and the mail-in system worked properly. So he's essentially encouraging them to do this, to do like a stress test of the whole mail-in process. And he continues, after you vote, which it should not, the ballot will not be used or counted in that your vote has already been cast and tabulated. You are now assured that your precious vote has been counted. It hasn't been lost, thrown out, or in any way destroyed. God bless America. So again, if his supporters attempt to do that, they would be breaking the law.
So you can't try to vote twice. It's not a verification system like that. Are you kidding me? As Democrats, I'd love to verify every single vote 1,000 times over. I'm scared to death the Republicans are going to cheat, right? But that is not a verification system when you vote by mail and then try to go vote in person. And then part of the reason that Trump does that, and I'm going to give you stunning numbers in a second, but one of the reasons is he thinks if we vote twice, we'll just count it. So what, right? And if I lose, who cares who voted illegally and who the Democrats arrest later? They're not arresting me. They'll arrest other people. Besides which, Democrats are so weak, they'll never arrest anybody, right? But if we win, the Attorney General doesn't care about the law at all. Look at what he just said. He said, I don't know, it depends on the state law. Wolf Blitzer with a rare good follow-up question. Is there any law that allows you to vote twice? Any state that allows you to vote twice? Of course not. There's no such thing as voting twice. The Attorney General pretending that he doesn't know that means he's a crook. He's an absolute crook. And so if this election is close, God help us. Now the stunning numbers. 56% of Trump voters expect to vote on election day, whereas only 26% of Democratic voters expect to vote on election day. 56 to 26. By mail-in ballot, 47% of Biden supporters say that they are going to use mail-in ballot, whereas only 21% of Trump voters say they're going to use it. So that means that's a massive advantage to Trump on election day, but an overwhelming advantage to Biden and a much larger advantage to Biden with mail-in voting. So Trump knows those numbers too. That's why he's now saying, mail-in voting, who cares? And by the way, if I have any hope of catching up, vote twice. And so they're gonna try everything in their powers. Here, I'll give you one last fact, because these are all amazing and really important. In Pennsylvania so far, nearly 900,000 Democrats have requested mail-in ballots and only 347,000 Republicans. So almost 3-to-1 margin in a swing state like Pennsylvania. So what is very likely to happen is on election day, Trump will appear to have the lead in Pennsylvania, but he does not, because the mail-in ballots are heavily Democratic voters requesting them. You never know how they're going to actually vote, but it's a pretty good indication. So that's what all of this is about. And I think almost the only question left is if how close the election is going to be. Because if it's close enough within 3-4 points, which by the way is not that close, okay? In the old days, that's a very, very clear win. But these days, according to Nate Silver, by the way, if Biden doesn't win by 3 points, he's likely to lose the Electoral College. And that's a different issue. And already a massive problem. But then on top of that, you have to figure in Trump and Barr cheating in every possible way and trying desperately not to count the mail-in ballots and declaring victory on election night, no matter what the results are. So it's an absolute disaster waiting to happen.
All right, well, let's talk about the story that you teased in that last one, the election day analysis and what Nate Silver finds. Now, it comes from Nate Silver, so take it with a grain of salt, but here's what we know. The pandemic makes the upcoming presidential election unprecedented because so many people are planning to vote by mail in order to prevent the spread of coronavirus. But based on current estimates, it's likely that Trump will take the lead in the general election on the night of the election. And then as the mail-in votes, the very valid mail-in votes are counted in coming days, Biden is likely to take the lead. Now, many people are worried about that because it could lead to some unrest. It could lead to Donald Trump not accepting the results of the election and declaring himself the winner on the night of the general election. And so as CNN reports, the data firm Hawkfish, which was founded by former New York mayor and 2020 Democratic presidential candidate Michael Bloomberg, recently studied these scenarios and is warning the public about what they call the red mirage. According to their analysis, a Biden blowout could look like a comfortable Trump win on election night based on partial results that come in quickly from in-person polling places that don't reflect millions of mail-in ballots that are still getting processed or haven't arrived. The analysis assumes that states that are new to this level of mail-in voting will suffer from similar delays. And there is additional research to this that I think is worth noting. So for instance, Edward Foley, who's an election law expert who teaches at Ohio State University, has examined these post-election shifts. According to his research, the blue shift is very real in Pennsylvania. He found that the Democratic candidate picked up at least 22,000 votes after Election Day in the last 4 presidential elections through mail-in voting. Typically, that isn't enough to sway the outcome, but it could happen. And this also played out in 2016. In 2018 during the midterms in a high stakes Senate race in Arizona. Republican Martha McSally had a 15,403 vote lead on election night, but that turned into a 71,303 vote deficit as Democrat Kyrsten Sinema pulled ahead thanks to mail-in and provisional ballots. So it is very real that on the night of the election, with the partial results coming in, that it looks like Donald Trump is winning. But again, if you get all those mail-in ballots and you count them accurately, Biden could very well take the lead. The question is, will Trump and his campaign attempt to claim victory and then refuse to accept the final outcome after all the mail-in ballots have been counted.
So one of our members just wrote in, Cousin Vinny, basically their plan is to steal the election, is to do what Michael Scott did in the basketball game against the Warehouse. Wait till you have a lead, cry foul, then stop the game and claim victory. Yeah, pretty much. By the way, tyt.com/join, and we read some of those comments. You know, as I explained just a little while ago in the show, in Pennsylvania, Democrats have nearly 600,000 advantage in voters who have requested mail-in ballots. So now a huge question is how quickly they count those mail-in ballots. We just had an election in Massachusetts, a primary that we covered earlier in the week, Ryan Graham and I did. And the good news is they counted fairly quickly. And they had a ton of mail-in ballots, and the mail-in ballots increased the amount of people voting by twofold since the last primary election in Massachusetts for the Senate race. So that's gigantic. So that's good. That's really good. There's more people voting. Okay. The bad news is in the election that was closest, it appeared that the progressive was going to, the more progressive candidate was going to win on election night. And when the mail-in ballots came in, it turned out the more conservative Democrat is now in the lead. Now, they haven't stopped counting in that particular race in Massachusetts' 4th district. But look at that. So that's just between Democrats. Our side, the progressive side, winds up being on the short end of that. But we don't think that they're cheating. We think that they're just counting mail-in ballots. And the mail-in ballots happen to go in that direction. But if the election is that close to the national level, and Massachusetts was actually pretty good about counting pretty quickly, you have some states that are super bad at it, this could drag on for a long time. And meanwhile, you know what the Republicans do. They did it in 2000. This time they'll do it on steroids. We won, we won, we won, we won. Cancel the election, cancel the voting. Don't count, don't count, don't count. Besides which, mail-in is all illegal. No, no, no. Good. The mail-ins that you counted from Republicans, they're already counted. Too late. The ones from coming in from Democrats, no, they're all fraudulent. And so, look, I'm still hopeful that the election is going to be a big enough blowout that Biden's gonna win on election day, and it's gonna be over because Trump is in the polling, he's just getting clowned, and it gets worse every day. And I've always believed he just doesn't have it in him. And the next 2 months, I think, will be a disaster for Trump. But if I'm in any way wrong, and it's within 3 points, and even if Biden wins, there's 1,000 different ways they're gonna try to steal it.
Yeah, and so let me give you those details from Nate Silver, because he claims that in order for Biden to have the highest chances of beating Trump in the Electoral College, he needs to win by a wider margin in the popular vote. He tweeted, you'll sometimes see people say stuff like, Biden must win the popular vote by 3 points or he's toast. Not true. At 2 to 3 points, the Electoral College is actually a toss up, not necessarily a Trump win. The Electoral College is not really safe for Biden unless he wins by 5+ points. And so he has a breakdown in a tweet that kind of shows you his chances of winning the election based on how much he wins the popular vote by. So if he wins by 0 to 1 point, he only has a 6% chance of winning the Electoral College. And then he breaks it down 1 to 2 points, 22% chance. In order for him to have the best chance of winning the Electoral College, he needs to beat Trump in the popular vote 6 to 7 points.
So guys, these are two separate issues. I just want to be clear about that. One is day of voting and mail-in voting and counting all of those votes. And so even with the Electoral College, if they stop the vote counting and don't count some of the mail-in ballots, Trump could claim victory, even though he did not win the Electoral College and hence did not win the presidency. The second issue is the Electoral College is so ridiculous and antiquated that even if you have a fair election, because of how overwhelmingly the Democratic candidate wins the blue states, it could turn out that Trump wins again, even though he lost the popular vote. So in that situation. I mean, look at how absurd it is. If Biden wins by 1%, the popular vote, more people vote. By the way, 1% is, you know, could be as high as 1 million votes. If he wins by 1 million votes, he has a 94% chance of losing the Electoral College and not being president. That's insane. That's insane. Now, two out of the last five elections have been reversed. The person who got more votes did not wind up becoming president, both Al Gore and then obviously Hillary Clinton. And so Democrats have said nary a word. The weakest party in American history, in American history. Total cowards, totally feckless, and just get steamrolled. Now, why do I say that? Because everybody always just throws up their hands. The feckless Democrats go, there's nothing we can do. Now, imagine if Republicans had won the popular vote several times and did not become president in modern history. And in 2016, they won by 3 million votes, as Hillary Clinton did. And they did not become president. The Republicans would light the place on fire. What do you think Trump would do? What do you think Mitch McConnell would do? They would tear everything down and say, hell no, hell no. More people voted for us. What kind of democracy is this? And they would make sure that they would get rid of the Electoral College. The Democrats bow their heads. And now we're walking into yet another election on Electoral College alone, where if we win by 3 points, we might still lose. Because the Democrats did nothing to fight back. Idiots.
We got to take a break. When we come back, we have a breaking news story.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Reach some new members on YouTube. Just hit the join button below. Teresia Gardetto, Julia Van Valkenburg, SJ Mullen, Echo the Cat in the main event. Thank you guys on YouTube Super Chat. Melissa Sherman says, just learn how to like the stream watching on YouTube on the Roku. Oh, that's awesome. I love that you're doing both. I'm the boomerist millennial. Can't wait to hear Anna sing again tonight. Guys, it doesn't look like we made it. We were trying to get likes and shares down below really easy. We're trying to get the 2,500 likes, but we're at 2,200. So I think we might be out of time. We got a great post game for you guys. That's another reason to join. That's coming up in a little bit. And last one is Gabby Erickson on YouTube Super Chat says, trust you guys the most. Thank you for always keeping it real. Gabby, thank you for participating and using YouTube Super Chat. You can also go to tyt.com/go. And it's not just us doing the show. Gabby, you're also doing the show because you guys finance this and make this possible. Thank you. All right, Anna.
All right, well, we have some breaking news for you guys. The Atlantic is reporting that Donald Trump canceled a trip to an American cemetery near Paris because he felt that it would be wrong to celebrate losers and suckers. We're talking about members of our military who died in war, and Trump didn't want to visit because he thinks that people who died in war are losers and suckers. So let me give you those details. So as the Atlantic reports, you know, he initially didn't want to go, and this was in 2008 because it was raining, and he said that he was concerned about his hair. Trump rejected the idea of the visit because he feared his hair would become disheveled in the rain and because he did not believe it important to honor American war dead, according to four people with firsthand knowledge of the discussion that day. In a conversation with senior staff members on the morning of the scheduled visit, Trump said, quote, "Why should I go to that cemetery? It's filled with losers." In a separate conversation on the same trip, Trump referred to the more than 1,800 Marines who lost their lives at Belleau Wood as suckers for getting killed.
So when I first saw the headline, and I had trouble believing it, it just broke a little while ago. But when you read the details, it all comes together. So first of all, the main reason he probably didn't want to go was the rain, because of what it does to his hair. Look, we've lost nearly 200,000 Americans during coronavirus because Trump thought he didn't look good in a mask. So his vanity is everything. Then he finds an excuse for it. But that loser conversation, it seems unbelievable that he would say that about our veterans who died defending this country. But actually, when you see the context, it's not as unbelievable. First of all, by the way, it's four sources close to Trump. The Atlantic isn't lying about that. There's another three sources that say that when talking about John McCain's funeral, he said, "We're not going to support that loser's funeral." Now, remember, he also said while McCain was alive back in 2016, "I prefer people who weren't captured." Remember, he said that. So it's very similar to what he said before, and which you all saw with your own eyes. And he went on to say, "What the F are we doing that for?" when told that they were going to lower flags, American flags for John McCain. He said, "That guy was an effing loser." So that's how he views people who serve this country. And by the way, it appears that it's a theme. He thinks anyone who died or got captured or shot down in any way in a battle is a loser, because apparently on at least two occasions, according to three sources, he said about George H.W. Bush that he was, quote, a loser for being shot down during World War II. Now, George H.W. Bush was lucky enough to survive that and evade capture, but eight other men shot down during that same mission were not as lucky. They got caught. They were tortured and then executed by the Japanese. So those are the people that Donald Trump apparently thinks are losers and suckers. Now, that last word, by the way, suckers, also gives you an indication of why he thinks that. Remember, he dodged the war in Vietnam. He was in favor of it and then got five deferments. The last one was because of so-called bone spurs. When asked which foot he had the bone spurs on, he said, "I don't remember, maybe both." He obviously did not have bone spurs, and later the New York Times found the relative of the doctor who wrote the note, and it was a tenant of his dad's, and they'd obviously rigged it. Now family members say he also rigged the SATs. So he's a spoiled little brat, and he thinks going to war is for idiot poor people and middle class people who don't have rich dads to get them out of the war. Bunch of suckers going to get killed in a war we start. Well, of course they're losers. A winner like me gets $400 million from his dad and lies and cheats to get out of wars. That's the scumbag that is running for president, that is currently president, and that amazingly some veterans still support. Insane. If any Democrat had said 1% of any of this, they would be tarred and feathered. But you have a despicable Republican who spits on veterans, calls them losers for dying in battle, and nary a consequence.
Well, because Republicans would take a story like this if the accusations were against a Democrat, and they would latch onto it until that person is completely and utterly politically destroyed, right? It's asymmetrical. The way everything happens in this country, politically speaking, is asymmetrical, right? And Donald Trump has this very unique ability of flooding the news cycle with chaos. We're not talking about Louis DeJoy this week at all. We're not talking about the post office. We're not talking about the fact that he's refusing to reinstall all of those mail sorting machines that are critical in ensuring that the post office is equipped to sort the mail when we get all those mail-in ballots, right? And so everyone's distracted, everyone's trying to chase the, you know, the chaos. And Democrats have dropped the ball. Like, they've dropped the ball over and over again. Look, Trump says the quiet parts out loud. He says exactly what I think a lot of politicians, maybe they don't think that our troops or the soldiers that we've lost are losers and suckers, but they certainly don't value our troops. I mean, if they really did value our troops, they wouldn't put them in these endless wars that either kill them or, you know, physically injure them or mentally injure them. And then they come here and they get nothing, right? They get very little help when they actually need a lot of help for mental health issues and things like that. The thing about Trump is, no, actually, I'm going to leave Trump alone for a second. I'm actually more annoyed with the cowards who are close to him, continue to be close to him, and think, oh, this is abhorrent. Like, we don't agree with this. This is wrong. We're going to go leak it to the Atlantic. But we don't have the guts to call him out by name. We don't have the guts to separate ourselves from him because he's so dangerous and because he's so horrible and honestly a threat to this country. So lots of losers in this story. And it's not our fallen soldiers. It's Trump and the cowards who continue to enable him, but then run away and leak these stories to the press.
So you remember Trump joked around with Howard Stern about him not going to Vietnam. He said, no, I had my own personal Vietnam. It was that I avoided STDs at the orgies that I went to. So that's who Donald Trump is. And now right-wing evangelicals support that guy. Never talk about family values. Never talk about veterans. Never talk about supporting the troops ever, ever, ever again. By the way, as they increase the defense budget to monstrous levels, they won't give healthcare to our troops. Almost none of the money went to troops. It went all to defense contractors who donate to Donald Trump. So look, here's what the Democrats should do. This is disqualifying. Donald Trump should drop out of the race right now. How dare he call our veterans losers, our fallen soldiers suckers? He should drop out. This is the most sickening disgrace we've ever seen. We plan on running against Mike Pence. Now, is Trump going to drop out? Of course not. But what that does is it creates an actual giant story where everyone debates whether Donald Trump should drop out because of the sick things he said about our fallen soldiers. Will Democrats do that? No, they'll bungle it as they always do. They're a bunch of serial bunglers. And this will be a half day story. I mean, it should be a monster story. This would cost anyone the election on this story alone in any other race. And I know that Trump floods the zone with, I know he said to break the law yesterday by voting twice. Him saying vote twice is actually illegal. But the Democrats, they just cannot capitalize on any of this. For God's sake, fight back. For God's sake, fight back. And so we'll see what happens here, but I'm just not sure that anything is going to come out of it. Okay, so we're almost out of time. Post game, we did get to 2,800 likes. We love you for it. So I guess we'll have to sing in the post game. Join button is down below or tyt.com/join. We have so many important stories. Don't miss the post game where we're going to do them all right now.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.